Good day and welcome everyone to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange conference call. Today's call is being recorded, and at this time for opening remarks and introductions, I'd like to turn the conference over to Ms. Christy Schneider. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you, Nelson, and welcome everyone to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is using ZOS Communication Server, TCP/IP, in common INET multi-stack environment. During the presentation, all lines will be muted. After the presentation, the lines will open for a question and answer session. Today's presenter is Clarissa Brown, software engineer in ZOS Communication Server Level 2 Support. Rick Armstrong, advisory software engineer, ZOS Communication Server, has also joined us today and will assist Clarissa during the question and answer session at the end of the presentation. Clarissa Brown is a technical support representative for TCP/IP services under ZOS Communication Server. She has held this position since 2003 with her primary concentration in the connectivity component under TCP/IP. Rick has been working in communication service since 1989. He has been involved in working with customer problems regarding all components of TCP/IP. Rick has presented many topics for ZOS Communication Server at SHARE. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Clarissa. Please go ahead.
Hello. Today's presentation is about ZOS Communication Server, TCP/IP stacks in a common INET environment. Page 2, please. Agenda. This discussion will cover the following topics: an overview, the differences between INET and Common INET, which I will mostly refer to as CINET. The basis of this presentation will be on how application socket requests are handled by the CINET pre-router and TCP/IP. We will discuss how the pre-router and TCP/IP work together, some things to be aware of, means to control the two, and last, tech notes and references. Page 3, please. Overview. This was taken from the ZOS IP configuration guide. ZOS is capable of running multiple processors, which means you can have multiple TCP/IP stacks running concurrently on a single system. ZOS is configured with a single TCP/IP stack is classified as an INET environment. If there are multiple stacks configured, it is identified as a common INET environment. When running multiple stacks, this requires additional system resources, such as storage and CPU cycles. It also adds a significant level of complexity to the system administrative task. Based on these reasons, it is suggested to use an INET configuration. However, there are some special situations where you may, for instance, want to have two separate stacks for internet and intranet traffic on a single LPAR. Page 4, please. What is INET? INET is a single physical file system to be used by a single TCP/IP stack. This diagram illustrates an INET configuration with a TCP/IP application and a single physical file system utilized by a single stack. Page 5, please. Customizing BPX PRM for INET. The BPX PRM Palm Live member is used by OMBS, and it contains the parameters that control processing and the file system. The example here is based on a TCP/IP stack using both IP version 4 and IP version 6 sockets. The main thing that I want to point out here is the file system type and entry point parameters. File system type identifies the type of physical file system. Entry point EZB PF INI identifies a single TCP/IP stack service. The benefits of running in an INET environment are no concern for stack affinity when concerning socket calls, simplified application design, and there is only one routing table to manage. Page 6, please. The INET. What is CINET? CINET is a multiple physical file system used to support multiple transport providers. This is also referred to as TCP/IP stack. This diagram illustrates a CINET configuration with a TCPIP application and a common physical file system used by two stacks. Page 7, please. What is unique about CINET? The OS 390 ZOS platforms are the only platforms that have the support for multiple stacks. OnVS was built into existing NVS services where there were two existing transports of VTEM AnyNet and TCPIP. CINET makes it possible to use more than one transport service. There's a maximum of 32 transport providers that can be defined to OnVS. However, only 8 TCPIP stacks can be active at the same time, given their sufficient system resources. With multiple stacks, you have the ability to test one service level of a transport while running production of another service level. Page 8, please. BPX PRM example of CINET. CINET is identified by the file system type of CINET and an entry point of BPX TCINT, which indicates multiple stacks. The other key to point out with this example is the subfile sys type, which identifies the TCPIP stack name that is to run underneath the CINET socket file system. The default keyword under TCPIP-A means that it will be the default transport provider. If this was not specified, the first stack activated would be the default. Page 9, please. What is the CINET pre-router? The CINET pre-router is the routing function in OnVS used to determine which stack to send socket requests to. It retrieves the interface list and routing information from each stack and stores them to the CINET pre-router. When stack affinity is not set by the application, the pre-router determines which stack to send a socket request based on information received from each stack. Binds and connects are the most common socket requests that we will talk about in this presentation. The route selection for the pre-router is determined in the same way that it is done in TCPIP, where the most specific route is chosen first. For instance, post routes will be chosen first and default routes will be chosen last. If each stack has the same routes with the same cost metric, the default stack is used. When the pre-router needs to use a default route, it will check with the default stack first. Then, if the default stack doesn't have default routes, the other transport providers are checked. There is no load balancing performed by the pre-router. Page 10, please. What happens to my socket call? Every socket call goes through the CINET layer where it is then directed to the appropriate stack. Stack affinity can be set by the application in three ways: by a octal and set IBM op socket calls, the set IBM op transport environment variable, or by invoking the BPX TC affinity program. Each of these options I will discuss more later in the presentation. If stack affinity is not set, that means you trust the CINET pre-router to make the right decision. In the case of a bind request, the bind will be to either a specific IP address or an address of in out of any, which means all available stacks. As last result, the socket request will go to the default stack, and you can identify the default stack with the display onvs, p command from the operator's console. Page 11, please. CINET. I just wanted to refer back to the CINET illustration because the next few slides will be on CINET common problems. Page 12, please. So now the illustration shows that we have added two interfaces to each of the TCPIP stacks. Interfaces A and B for TCPIP A, interface C and D for TCPIP B. Page 13, please. TCPIP configuration. For each of the interfaces, each stack is also configured with two static direct subnet routes. Stack A has the 1.1 and the 2.2 subnet. Stack B has the 3.3 and the 4.4 subnet. A display net set route command will show the TCPIP route table for each stack. Page 14, please. CINET internal. Once each stack is initialized, OMVS will send an IOPTO to get the interface list and routing information from each stack. If there are any interface or route changes made to the stack, TCPIP will send that information to OMVS. A display OMVS, CINET equals all will show the interface list and routing information as it pertains to the pre-router. Page 15, please. So now that the stacks are started, the pre-router has all the information that it needs. This is an example of what the CINET pre-router table will look like based on the configuration. If you notice, it will have a list of all the interface addresses and the TCPIP stack names that they belong to. It also shows a list of the host routes and subnet routes that each stack has. Page 16, please. Bind and connect. So based on the stack configuration just given, if an application issues a bind to NAT-INI, CINET will interpret the bind and send it to both stack A and stack B. If an application issues a bind to a specific IP address within the 1.1 subnet, the bind will go to stack A. Likewise, a connect request to an address within the 3.3 subnet will go to stack B. Page 17, please. Generic server. The FTP server shipped with ZOS is an example of a generic server. It is a type of server that is not dependent upon a particular stack. It does not care about stack affinity and can communicate concurrently over multiple stacks. If you wanted to configure a generic server to set stack affinity, there are no restrictions for doing that. Page 18, please. Server requiring affinity. OMPROUTE is an example of a server requiring stack affinity. It is dependent upon internal functioning of each particular stack. So in a CINET environment with multiple stacks wanting to exploit OMPROUTE, you will need multiple OMPROUTE servers. Page 19, please. Common problem 1. In this scenario, stack A has a port reservation for port 21 with job name STPD1. Stack B also has a port reservation for port 21, but with the job name of STPServe. When the FTP daemon starts, it will spawn a child process with the job name of STPD1, which will bind to NAT-INI and port 21. This means that CINET will send the bind to both stacks. On stack A, the bind will succeed because it has port 21 reserved for STPD1. When the bind gets to stack B, it will fail with error no hex 6 fox because it has port 21 reserved to another application. Hex 6 fox represents an e-access error, meaning permission was denied to access the port. For FTP to listen on all available stacks, all stacks should have the correct FTP job name defined to the port statement. Page 20, please. Common problem 2. This problem and the next problem are related to dynamic VIPers or devices. And I want to first give you a quick background on how a deviper is activated and created. A deviper can be active to the stack by coding a viper define or viper distribute define statement in the TCPIP profile. With this, the devipers are dynamically added to the TCPIP home list and are passed to OMVS along with the regular physical interface addresses. You could also choose to have the application dynamically activate the deviper when it issues a bind or an octo. And this is achieved by having a viper range statement in the TCPIP profile to specify a range of deviper addresses that can be activated by the application. With viper range, the deviper is not known to the stack until the application bind or an octo is complete. So for this problem, stack A has a viper range statement for devipers in the 8.8 subnet range, and stack B does not have a viper range statement defined. We have application X that issues a bind to 8.8.8.6 And since the Viper is not yet active because of the Viper range, CINET will not find a match in its interface list and will send the bind to stack A, because if you remember, it was defined as default. The bind will then be established on stack A since the address falls within the Viper range that was defined. If stack B happens to be the default stack, the bind would fail with error null, E address not available, and JR invalid address. To make sure the bind for a Viper range to Viper goes to the correct stack, stack affinity should be set by the application. Page 21, please. Common problem 3. So we are still dealing with dynamic Vipers, and this time stack A has a port reservation to port 2413 with a bind to 8.8.8.8. Application X issues a bind to port 2413 and in out of any, so that TCP/IP will convert it to a specific bind to create the Viper for the application. So the bind will go to both stacks, and stack A will establish the bind on port 2413 and 8.8.8.8. When the bind gets to stack B, and assuming the port is not reserved to any other applications, the bind is established to port 2413 with an address of in out of any. You want to prevent the application from listening on multiple stacks at an address of in out of any. Stack affinity should be set by the application. Page 22, please. CINET with different network types. Now the CINET environment has been changed by setting up an internet network to stack A and an internet network to stack B. Page 23, please. Default route. To add more complexity to the configuration, each stack now has two static default routes for each interface defined in the TCP/IP profile. Page 24, please. CINET route table. With the default routes, the pre-router table has also been updated to indicate that each stack now supports default routes. This is indicated by the DRS flag in the interface list section. Page 25, please. Common problem 4. Based on the new configuration, we have application A that only connects to users on the company intranet, and application B that only connects to users on the internet. When application A issues a connect to a host in the 1.1 subnet, stack A will receive the connect. When application B sends a connect to a host in the 207.25 subnet, which is on the internet, CINET will not find a match to this destination and will send the connect to the default stack A. And now that stack A has default routes, a default route will be chosen and the connect will eventually time out because it is not connected to the internet. To prevent this from occurring, you could do one of three things. One is the stack should have more specific routes to their destination. Two, only one stack should have default routes that can reach both networks. And three, of course, is set stack affinity. Page 26, please. Connect. As I stated earlier, if you want to control which stack gets the connect request in a CINET environment, you can have the application issue a set IBM op or IOXO socket call. The set IBM op socket call will set all future socket requests to have affinity with only the one specified stack. The IOXO call will only set affinity of the associated socket to a particular stack and remove any previous affinities. If you don't want to use the socket calls, and this is a C program using LE services, you can code the set IBM op transport environment variable in the NVS start procedure. If you can see the example here, it shows the SCPD start procedure setting affinity to stack A using the environment variable. By setting it in the farm statement, this means that LE will issue a set IBM op call on behalf of the application. You can also set this in the CEE environment file. Page 27, please. Connect. The final option is the BPX TC affinity program. This is mostly used for non-C programs or batch jobs which cannot utilize the set IBM op environment variable. This slide also shows an example of what this would look like defined in a batch job. The desired transport name is specified with the farm keyword and cannot have more than 8 characters. With this program option, affinity will be set for the duration of the address space and applies to all Unix processes running within the address space. Now, if you choose to not set stack affinity, all connect requests will be routed based on the CINET routing table built from each stack. As last result, the default stack will be used. And if none of the stacks have default routes, an error node of hex 45 Charlie is returned, which means the network cannot be reached from the host. Page 28, please. Bind. To control which stack gets the bind request, it first depends on the type of bind that is issued. A bind to a specific IP address would typically go to the correct stack, assuming the correct interface addresses are defined. For binds to a specific device address, the device should already be active. Or if the device is not yet active and will be activated from the application issuing a bind, a valid VIPER range statement should be defined. Just be sure that stack affinity is also set when using VIPER range. Otherwise, the bind will go to the default stack, which may not be dissolvable. And again, the binds to enter to any will go to all available stacks. The rest of this slide talks about how to set affinity for bind requests with socket calls, which are the same calls that we previously discussed. Page 29, please. Bind. This mostly talks about setting affinity for bind requests, again with the environment variable and the VPX-TC affinity program. If you look down near the bottom of the slide, it talks about what happens to bind requests when no stack affinity is set, which means that you will trust the pre-router to send the bind to the right stack or multiple stacks, depending on the type of bind that was issued. Page 30, please. CINET will only use the default stack if no matches are found for a bind-specific IP address. Page 31, please. Additional awareness. When using the net access statement to configure network access control, only applications permitted to the appropriate security resource can issue connects to the specified network. The same logic applies when you add the SAF keyword to the port statement. The application can only bind to the port if it is permitted to the appropriate security resource. Page 32, please. Caution. As stated in the overview, we do not typically recommend running in a CINET environment. However, if you must use it, beware of the extra storage management, CPU utilization, and more complexity to system administrative tasks. Page 33, please. Tech notes and references. Tech notes can be found at the following URL: TechNote 107-9109 and TechNote 107-9111 talks about the bind problems we discussed when using a VIPER address within a VIPER range statement. This slide also has a list of OMBS, TCPIP, and MVS manuals, which can be used for more information on what was discussed today. Page 34, please. Additional WebSphere product references. This slide includes links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for WebSphere products. DeveloperWorks offers in-depth technical information. The events link on support pages points you to webcasts and conference information. Visit WebSphere.org for user group information and more product information. The IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get new users up the learning curve quickly. The ESR tool is for Passport Advantage clients to open, update, and view PMRs online. Finally, the My Support link on all product support pages lets you sign up for weekly email updates for products of interest to you. Page 35, please. Thank you for your participation. And at this time, I will turn the call back to the moderator.
Thank you, Clarissa, for a great presentation. We will now open the lines for questions and answers. I will turn the call over to Clarissa and Rick Armstrong. Thank you.
And we have no questions standing by on our question roster.
Thank you, Millicent. And at this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been useful to you. We appreciate your participation. We hope you will join us for future presentations. Thank you very much for joining us today. And thank you, Clarissa and Rick, for presenting.
Thank you, everyone, for your participation in today's conference call. You may disconnect at this time.